and sloping at right angles, is grimy with dirt. On the lovely summer days, when a hot sun scorches the streets, a sickly light penetrates the dirty glass and hangs miserably about the passageway. On the dull winter days, on the foggy mornings, the glass reflects only a lurid and obscure light onto the reeking flagstones. On the left are some low, dark shops huddled together, emitting puffs of cold, cavernous air. There are second-hand bookstalls, toy shops, paper merchants, their contents grey with dust, lying vaguely in shadow. The small squares of glass, of which the shop fronts are composed, cast greenish reflections on the articles inside. Behind the goods displayed, the shops are full of darkness, like gloomy caverns in which strange, fantastic forms move about. On the right, along the entire length of the passageway, extends a wall, against which the shopkeepers opposite have fixed narrow cupboards. Nameless trifles, goods forgotten there for the last 20 years, are displayed on the contracted shelves, which are painted a horrible brown colour. A dealer in imitation jewellery has established herself in one of these little cupboards. She sells for 15 sous each rings which lie delicately on a bed of blue velvet at the bottom of a mahogany box. Above the glass roof, the wall towers black, rough cast, as if affected with leprosy and covered with scars. This Passage du Pont Neuf is not a place to stroll. One uses it to make a short cut, to save a few minutes. It is crossed by busy people whose sole object is to go straight and quickly to their destination. One meets their apprentices in their working aprons, seamstresses taking home their work, men and women with parcels under their arms, also old men hobbling along in the dim twilight which struggles through the glass roof, and bands of children dismissed from school who come there to enjoy the noise they make with their wooden shoes while hopping over the stones. All day long there is a sharp, quick sound of footsteps hurrying along with irritating irregularity. No one speaks. No one loiters. All hurry about on their business, heads bowed, walking rapidly without so much as a glance at the shops. The shopkeepers gaze anxiously at those passers-by who, by some miracle, stop for a moment opposite their wares. At night-time, three gas jets, enclosed in heavy square lanterns, light up the passageway. These lanterns, hanging from the glass roof on which they throw spots of yellowish light, spread in faint glimmering circles, which quiver and at times seem to disappear. The passageway assumes the aspect of a cutthroat alley. Huge shadows lengthen on the pavement. Puffs of damp air come from the street. You might imagine it to be a subterranean gallery dimly lit by three funeral lamps. The shopkeepers content themselves with the meagre rays which the gas jets cast onto their windows. Inside, their only light is a lamp with a shade placed on a corner of the counter, enabling the passers-by to distinguish the depths of these caves, where night reigns even during the daytime. Among the dark line of shop fronts, the windows of a paper merchant are a blaze of light. Two lamps pierce the shadows with their yellow flames. On the opposite side, a candle stuck inside a lamp glass throws its feeble rays onto the box of imitation jewellery. The owner dozes in her cupboard, with her hands under her shawl. Some years ago, opposite this jeweller's, there stood a shop, from the dark green woodwork of which damp exuded from all the crevices. The word haberdashery was painted in black letters on a long, narrow signboard, and on one of the door panes a woman's name, Thérèse Raquin, was written in red letters. To the right and left were deep display cases lined with blue paper. In the daytime, the eye could only distinguish the display of goods in a softened chiaroscuro. On one side, there were a few items of linen drapery, goffered tulle caps at 2 and 3.